All right, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. Jeremiah, chapter 24. I will read the whole chapter. I will not mention every verse. But as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, when I came across this chapter, some things fell in place. Jeremiah chapter 24. Now, before I read, when you begin to read the book of Jeremiah, what we are actually reading, especially in the first 10, 20 chapters, are Jeremiah's messages that he preached to Jerusalem and Judea.
Yes, sir.
And then later, some way or another, God had Jeremiah compile these things in a book. Yeah. These are individual messages in many cases.
Yes,
and they're compiled in here by God through Jeremiah. And here is one of the things that Jeremiah seen. Jeremiah 24. The Lord shewed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. Remember, nothing is insignificant.
That's right.
Set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. So this lets us know when this took place. Jeremiah is clear. It's after this event took place. King of Judah and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. And let me stop and say, because I'm not going to deal with this in particular, the good figs are not good based upon their own doing.
Exactly.
The good figs are good by an act of God.
Yes, sir.
Because as you will see, if you read the book of Jeremiah, the good figs deserve the Babylonian captivity because of their sin. That's the whole of the book of Jeremiah. But there were this other basket of very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs, very good. Only one time this is ever mentioned in Scripture. And that is when God Almighty creates something, and that was originally in the beginning. And God said concerning man, he is very good.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And then man fell. Mm-hmm. And all of Adam's posterity fell with him. And we are no longer very good by nature. But in Christ, we are created very good.
Amen.
And the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil.
Amen.
I'm not a big lover of figs. I suppose, though, if a person who does enjoy figs quite well ever got a hold of some rotten figs, as compared to some very good figs, they'd have some idea of what Jeremiah is talking about here. And I'm not going to suppose to try to give you something to help you understand that. But then look, and again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs. So God is teaching Jeremiah and us a lesson with this vision he gets of these two baskets of figs. Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good.
Amen.
Now, not because of their good.
Exactly.
They were going into Babylon because of their sin.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
But they're going into Babylon because of their sin. Is God working this for their good? Now, I know some people don't like that, but that's just the way it is. Even the sin of God's people, God will work. I said, God will work it for their good.
Amen.
because there's something else that goes along with that. That's a work of God.
Yes, sir.
For their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. This is not simply about a piece of real estate.
Yeah. You're right.
This is not an example. No, wrong. This is not a type or a symbol of how God saves His people. This is an actual example of how God saves His people.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Because look about those who are going to be brought back. Verse 7, and I will give them an heart to know me.
Amen.
This is much more than just returning back down to Jerusalem to build some physical temple.
Exactly. You're right.
And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now go back and read about those people, and you think, well, how can that be? Because God said so.
Amen.
It ain't how you and I view it, it's how God views it.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's how God views it. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. Let me stop a moment. The whole of the first part, especially of the book of Jeremiah, is this. You are going into captivity because of your sins. The good figs acknowledged that fact.
There you go. Yeah.
The bad fig says, this is not so. Jeremiah is a false prophet, and they even put him in prison because of it.
Exactly, yes sir. That's right.
They were trying to avoid the Babylonian captivity. God through Jeremiah saying, the Babylonian captivity is coming, bow down to Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what God through Jeremiah was saying to Israel. You're going into captivity because of your sin. You will be under the auspices of an evil king. Because God said so.
Exactly.
Now bow down under it. But the evil fig said, we will not bow. Oh, we're the people of God.
Yeah.
Israel is our name. We worship at the temple. And notice Jeremiah sees this vision where? At the temple.
Yeah, that's right.
What they were doing, the bad figs, is they were mixing the worship of God with the worship of this world. And that's not my intent here this morning either. But this is how all religious men and women do who profess the name of Christ but do not teach free-reigning grace. They are mixing the religion of Christ with the religion of this world. And they are bad figs.
Amen.
But look at what this second group, this evil figs, these naughty figs, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt.
Yeah.
You see it?
That's what it says.
To be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them, and I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers.
Amen.
Sounds a little contrary to what God said to Abraham back yonder, didn't it? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Be honest now. Don't try to play your doctrinal theological accuracy before this group, it just won't work. You'll have to come up to me later with one of your little catchphrases. Huh? I give this land to your seed, God said to Abraham. Did he not?
Exactly right.
Who was the seed?
Amen. That's it.
It wasn't the people.
That's right.
It was the son.
Amen.
The land belongs to him.
Amen.
Not to you or me or a Jew.
Amen.
Or an Israelite.
Right.
It belongs to him. And everything he did in his first advent, where did he do? In that land.
Yes, sir.
Rarely did he even go out of that land.
That's right.
Did he? What did he do in his first advent? Joe, that's where he parked himself.
That's exactly right.
That's where he parked himself. Here Jeremiah has shown God's distinguishing purpose of deliverance. And this is not a type or a symbol. This is a prophecy of God Almighty's actual grace. Well, think about it.
Yeah.
It was a literal prophecy concerning the Babylonian captivity and national Israel's continuance, but only under Judah.
Yeah. That's right.
Only under Judah.
That's right.
Remember, the nation had been divided long before this took place. Only under Judah. And why did Israel as a nation continue? Why did they continue? Was it because of land? Was it because of houses? Was it because of figs and grapes and milk and honey? No, it's because the Messiah himself was to be born in a little town called Bethlehem Ephrata, and that's why they were brought back into the land. Because the messianic promises were all centralized in that land.
Exactly.
That's just the facts. If you read the book of Jeremiah, God says, I'm tired of repenting. And I'm not here trying to explain that to you. Well, that doesn't fit our sovereign grace theology. Yes, it does. You just don't have the capacity to lay down before it.
Exactly.
There's no, God's different. About to say it wrong. God's characteristics are never at odds with one another. And God said through Jeremiah, I'm tired of repenting. God said, I'd wipe you all out. Other than for my covenant.
Right.
I would.
There you go.
And it was the covenant of the Messiah. It wasn't about the covenant to men.
That's right.
It was the covenant of the Messiah. Else God would have wiped them out.
Right.
Just like he did with Abraham. Or not Abraham, I'm sorry, Moses. Remember Moses didn't circumcise that one boy his?
Yeah.
And it said God sought to kill him.
That's what it said.
God sought to kill him. God's holiness always comes first before
Amen.
God.
Right.
It always comes first before God. But thank God he is such a wise sovereign that he always works everything out so that his holiness is never dishonored. Joe.
That's exactly right.
So this was a prophecy concerning the Babylonian captivity, and yes, national Israel's continuance, but it's also an example of God's deliverance of all of his elect in every age, and this was an actual deliverance. That doesn't mean that every person that returned from Babylon to Jerusalem was saved, but it means this, that was the remnant.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah prophesied about the remnant. As a matter of fact, this whole book talks about the remnant, the remnant, the remnant. And as one pastor said, what is the remnant? It's the leftover stuff that's discarded and nobody else wants.
Right, exactly.
And God said, that's what I choose.
Exactly.
That's what I choose. Sure. Good figs, that's the elect.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I'm not here trying to argue that. Naughty figs, that's not just the reprobate. It is the reprobate. It's the religious reprobate.
There you go. Yeah.
Here directly in the context, it was the Jewish reprobates.
Yeah, right.
The Jewish reprobates. But specifically the Jewish reprobates who profess to know God but yet worship Baal.
There you go.
And they kind of baptized, if you will, they kind of give the worship of Baal a kind of a Jehovah ring to it. And they go do it in the temple, then they run up on the groves and do it there too.
Yeah, you're right.
Go back and read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see these things.
Sure.
Three things here, first of all. Both were figs. Both were figs, right? Both groups were figs because of providential covenant privilege.
Yes, sir.
I will bring this to a head here in a moment. Both were figs because of providential covenant privilege. Every Jew, because of their covenant relationship to one another by blood, had specific privileges far above all of the heathen round about them. They had the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
I mean, actual God's Holy Scripture.
Exactly.
They had the temple of God to worship in. They had the sacrifices. They had the altar. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had God's presence, the Shekinah glory, the very God Himself. It was God who came down and sat over that box.
Yes, sir.
You know how? The very presence of that presence that you remember the angels, Ezekiel seen them, they're flying around, and Isaiah seen it too. Holy, holy, holy. Mason, that very God came down and sat right over that box, top of that box.
Yes, sir.
These Jews had great privilege. All of them did.
Yeah, all of them.
But secondly, they are in separate baskets.
That's right.
Right? There's two baskets. And they have distinct states or conditions. Do they not? You see it? Now, this is not my reckoning. It's what God says about them. The Apostle Paul deals with this reality. They're all figs, but in separate baskets and distinct states. And he says this is still true amongst the Jews. Now, you know the passage, Romans chapter 9. And turn to Romans chapter 9. Now, let me say a couple things. You get upset, that's tough. I don't apologize for it. It's tough. I will not argue with those who have said it and still say it. I may still say it, but I want us to look at how God says it.
Sir.
I've heard men speak of Israel and they say it's an election within an election. I understand what they're trying to say. I understand that. But that's not the way Paul puts it.
No, it's not.
Is it? No. Turn to Romans chapter 9 and let's read how Paul puts it. We must take his word and his summary of it because he's inspired of God rather than our reasons of how we think we ought to state it and how it sounds good and how it helps me understand it. Doesn't matter if it helps you understand it. You're understanding wrong if you're stating it wrong.
Right. That's true.
In Romans 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have continual heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And Paul said, I'm serious about this.
Yes, sir.
This is how I feel.
Yeah.
And I'm not going into trying to define all this. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. That's strong language.
Yes, sir.
For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who's he talking about? Jews. Hebrews.
Yeah.
Israelites by nature.
Yeah.
Those who were born the seed of Abraham by the flesh.
Exactly.
Jewish people. He says, who are Israelites?
Yeah.
But he's going to change that here in a moment.
Yes, sir.
He's going to change that here in a moment. They are Israelites naturally, yes.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises.
Yes, sir.
Whose are the fathers? And of whom? And I want you to notice how he sums it all up because that's the most important thing of all. Some men zero in on all those other stuff. Now I talk about here's all the covenants.
Yeah.
Here's all the promises.
Yeah.
And here's all the law. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Here's the way Paul sums it up. Who's all the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who was over all, God bless forever,
amen.
So be it.
Amen.
You see it? There's the whole reason that the Jewish nation was held together for all those years.
Right.
For that one end, right there.
Yes, sir.
Right there.
That's right.
Then he says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Here's the way you sum it up. What about them good figs, bad figs? What about these figs, but they're in different baskets? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So it's not an election within election. It's a bunch of reprobates among the elect.
Exactly.
That's what it really is.
Yes, sir.
That's the appropriate scriptural way to state it. Now, a lot of good gospel preaching men say what I've said before. Election within, I've said it before. May slip up and say it again, but God help me. Here's the truth. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel.
Amen.
And go on to look. There is the reprobate. And they're right amidst the elect of God.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Exactly.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Do you see it? Amongst that Jewish nation, of which all of them had great privilege.
Yes, sir. That's right.
All of them had great privilege.
Yeah.
Great opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? How many prophets did God send to the heathen?
Exactly.
Maybe one called Jonah.
That's it.
You know? And maybe a few others, but very few. Mm-hmm. All of these prophets sent to them. All of this great privilege. And yet, they disbelieved and was in unbelief against God.
Amen.
Paul explains why. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. But Paul goes on to let us know that he even warns us about this concerning the church as well. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Now, the reason I know this is the church is because he has called here the elders from Ephesus, the elders of the church at Ephesus, to meet him at Miletus.
Exactly.
And he says these words in verse 28, Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." People will creep in from the outside. Jude warned about that, did he not?
Yes, sir.
They'll sneak in just to spy out your liberty.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Now, that's true.
Yeah.
But that's not always it. Also, look at the next verse. Also, of your own selves.
Amen.
That's solemn.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it not?
Yeah.
That's solemn.
Yeah.
Also, of your own. Can you imagine what those men were thinking about? I don't know how many of them there were.
Yeah.
You know? Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you put your place, put yourself there?
Yeah.
Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's the same thing he's talking about amongst the Jews over there in Romans chapter 9. Right amidst the elect of God, the very church of God, are these perverse men speaking perverse things, and they rise up right from your midst.
Yes, sir.
They're not an elect within the elect. They're the reprobate amongst the elect.
Exactly.
That's what they are.
Right.
They're the reprobate amongst the... Therefore, verse 31, watch. Look. Look. Watch. Oh, yeah, look out there. But you better look here, too. Because he said of your own selves.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out. Grow eyes in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Huh? Because it will be sneaking in from without, and it will be rising up from within. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what he says?
That's what he said.
Therefore, watch and remember. Ah, you know, God's in charge. He's sovereign. Don't worry about it. You take that attitude, they will overtake you.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
They will overtake you.
That's right.
Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of three years.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you get tired of hearing about the same old thing for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And notice he does not say unto his grace. That's certainly true.
That's true.
But it's more particular than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Paul was referring to the Old Testament scriptures.
Yes, sir.
That's what he was referring to.
Yes, sir.
Right here defines everything that we believe and every way we walk.
Yes, sir.
It's in this book and in this book only.
Exactly.
When we take this book and try to apply our human wisdom to it and our philosophy to it and try to make it all fit. I tried that for years, folks. It don't all. I'm telling you, there's not a system in this world. I don't care what system it is that fits this world. This word.
You're right.
Because no man has ever figured out God theologically.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly right.
You understand? His ways are, what does the book say? Past finding out.
Amen.
So if any man says, okay, I've got it now, here's how it all lays out in Scripture, they are lying to you.
They're lying. Exactly right.
They are lying to you. And each passage stands on its own laurels.
That's true.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't take one passage to explain another.
No.
Each passage means what it means. And then you just take it for what it means and go with the flow. If it takes me out of my little box that I've put God in and His truth in, then so be it.
Yes, sir.
So be it. Now, just like it's always been true, there's always been the elect amongst the reprobate. And there's always been the reprobate amongst the elect.
That's right. You're right.
And as to their distinct states, I'll just for brevity, out of 1 Corinthians 6, look at it sometime, verses 9 through 11. Paul says, don't you deceive yourselves. Certain ways of living will damn you forever.
Right.
Go back and read it for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Be not deceived, fornicators, adulterers, effeminate. They'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you.
Right.
We're all figs. Now, if I am a good fig, how do I get that way? God Almighty made me that way.
Amen. That's it.
You see? Because if left to my devices, I'd sit out there on the tree or whatever, however those bad figs came to be what they were. You know, Jeremiah seen it. I suppose, Joey could probably smell the rot of the one basket and the other, you know, that one. And it was, you know, how did the good figs become good? God made them good.
That's right.
And the bad figs are bad what? By nature. By nature. You see, Paul told Titus, keep reminding them. Why? Because at one time we were all hateful and hating one another.
Yeah, you're right.
30-some years ago, I would have not got along with this group. Yeah. And you wouldn't have got along with me.
You're right. Exactly right.
Couldn't have walked together.
Yeah.
Because we weren't agreed.
Exactly.
We weren't agreed.
Yeah, you're right.
Who makes the difference? God makes the difference.
Amen.
Never boast.
Yeah.
If you feel yourself, you have reason in yourself to believe, or reason to believe that you are a good fig, remember, God made you a good fig.
That's right.
He gets the credit because He did the work.
Yeah.
We're not paying lip service to God.
No, sir.
He's the God of all glory because He gets all the glory. Now, having said all that, the election and the reprobation, and that's what we're always talking about here.
Yeah.
It really boils down to all that. We can say there's three kinds of people on the earth. That's true. But there's really only two kinds of people on the earth.
That's true.
The elect and the reprobate.
That's true. You're right.
The elect and the reprobate.
That's exactly right.
The election and the reprobation. I know some people don't like that. Reprobation, some people think that really bad people out there. No, reprobation is this. God Almighty rejects you.
That's right. That's exactly.
That's what the reprobate. God Almighty rejects you.
That's exactly right.
The election means God Almighty didn't reject you; He received you.
That's right.
He chose you. He set His heart and mind upon you. The election and the reprobation was God's purpose of distinguishing determination. Go back to Romans now, chapter 9. Now I want to give you something before I state this. A few years ago, I made this statement. Now, I will explain it this time. I didn't explain it last time, but I do not give that the onus. The onus was because of rebellion in someone's heart. I made this statement years ago, a few years ago, not too long ago, but a few years ago. I do not believe there is one baby in heaven. And I dropped that phrase and I let it lay right where it was. You remember I told you sometimes God's ministers just pull the pin on a hand grenade and just throw it out there and drop it down. Boom! It'll make the sissies scatter.
That's true.
It'll make the reprobate cringe and hate and despise God. And you know what the elect do? They run for cover. Yeah, they run for cover. Why? Because it's all a bomb. Now, when I said I don't believe there's one baby in heaven, I will put it this. I don't believe there's any 120-year-old paraplegic in heaven either.
Right. Exactly.
Now, do you understand what I was trying to say?
Yeah.
And yet an individual said I was preaching that God stoked the fires of hell with the souls of little babies. Is that not the truth?
Yeah. Somebody said it.
Had no idea what I was talking about. But here's the problem. That person really didn't like the gospel I was preaching,
and
the God I'm preaching, and the redemption I was preaching, and he finally found him some nail to hold on to and pull on. That's the way the reprobate do. That's the way they do. You see, look at it. Now the reason I said that is because I was accused by that same person. He always preaches from Romans chapter 9. So since I'm preaching on Romans 9 quite a bit here, I figured I'd throw that in. Now listen, verse 9 now. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. It did not depend upon Abraham or Sarah. They were both unable.
That's
That's right.
Right.
To be blunt, Abraham could not produce sperm.
Yeah.
And Sarah's ovaries were basically gone.
Gone. Yeah.
She had no egg to be fertilized.
No.
She was barren. Unable to bear children. Exactly. On top of not only that, they were both past the age of marriage. Isn't that what the book says?
Yes, sir.
So it wasn't dependent upon them. It was dependent upon who?
Amen.
God.
Amen.
For this is the word of promise. At this time, think about the Babylonian captivity. Amen. You're going into bondage, but 70 years later, you are coming out.
Amen.
All of God's elect are in bondage. We're all under the reign of an evil, wicked king. We walk according to his dictates.
That's right.
By nature.
Yes, sir.
Don't we?
Yeah.
And yet God has a time. For each and every one of us to be what? Delivered.
Amen.
Delivered. For Abraham and Sarah, it was a set time for Isaac to be born.
Exactly.
For the elect Jews that had been carried off to Babylon, it was 70 years.
Yes, sir.
And the Apostle Paul put it this way concerning our individual calling out, when it pleased God.
Amen.
For this is the word of promise, that this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And then he just kind of drops that.
Mm-hmm.
You see it?
Yeah.
He just drops that.
Yeah.
He just like one of the bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Bang! There it is. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. And all of a sudden we see this parenthesis in our English. Because here's the explanation. Now when it comes to the election, it is absolutely unconditional.
Amen.
As well as the reprobation.
Yes, sir.
The rejection. Look. For the children being not yet born, that tells you when.
Yeah.
Neither having done any good or evil, that will tell you the foundation that it's not based upon.
Exactly.
Right? It doesn't tell you the foundation that it is based upon, but it's not based upon any good or evil in these two boys.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly
being
right.
Not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works. Any kind of works.
That's right.
Good, evil, whatever.
That's right.
But of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Amen.
Now, if you go on and read it, this and Paul goes on this to say, this is just the way it is.
That's right.
Does he not?
Yeah.
It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
But election and reprobation are not ends in themselves.
That's right.
Do you understand now?
You're right.
Election and reprobation are not ends in themselves, but they are rather the determinative decrees that assure the means to the end.
There you go.
In other words, reprobation assures men's just destruction because of sin.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Destruction is not based just upon some arbitrary will of God.
Exactly.
Destruction is based upon the wrath of God and men and women being fitted.
Right.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
Fitted to destruction.
Amen.
Anybody that goes to hell deserves to go to hell.
Exactly.
Anybody that perishes
Amen.
Under the wrath of God and is destroyed, they deserve to be destroyed.
Amen.
Just like Israel of old that rejected the captivity and fought against Nebuchadnezzar, God wiped them from off the face of the earth and they deserved it.
Yes, sir.
But the elect, though they deserve captivity because of their sins, they bowed down because they admitted, oh, we've sinned against God. And they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Carried away captive. But when the appointed time of God in grace came, what did he do, Joe? He delivered them.
Amen.
And I mean, he didn't just, he said, I'd do it for their good and their spiritual good
exactly.
as well. This wasn't, this is not, well, God's got an earthly people, that's called Israel, and God's got a heavenly people, that's called the church. No. I've said that before. I've preached that before. That's not the truth. Because every Gentile, though they be a wild olive branch, they have been grafted into the root stock of Israel, who is indeed true Israel, the elect of God. Every other Israelite, because of what unbelief, not because God just arbitrarily wants to damn some folk, but because of unbelief, breaks them off. Is that not what the book teaches?
Yeah.
And I've been grafted where? Into that.
Amen.
That makes me a part of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Yes or no?
Yes. That's it.
So when a man tells you the church and Israel are separate, they're lying to you because they really don't know who Israel is.
There you go. That's right.
They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. True Israel's always been the elect of God.
Amen.
The elect of God.
Exactly.
Now, that doesn't change anything about where I stand when it comes to millennialism and all. That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
It's just the way it is. But I'll tell you this. God doesn't have this earthly people that he's blessing with real estate and houses and grapes. Even big bundles of them that you have to carry between two guys.
That's right. Yeah.
Think about it. I will get, here's going to be another one of them statements. You get upset with me, just be upset. You better study what you're talking about before you come at me with your little swear words. Because I know what I'm talking about here. Somebody says, God promised the land. Yes, he did. I done told you, he promised the land to Christ.
Amen.
He's the seed, singular. Right? Here's the second thing. Does anybody believe that circumcision, physical circumcision of a male's parts, private parts, does anybody know, do you believe that that's supposed to be an eternally practiced covenant?
There you go.
No. No. It definitely is not. But it is stated to be an everlasting covenant.
Yeah.
And it's always a covenant. It didn't say it's to be everlastingly practiced. It's an everlasting covenant.
There you go.
And that's the same thing he said about the land.
Yes, sir.
And you've noticed that God Almighty, circumcision came before the law.
That's exactly right.
But we know it has nothing to do with redemption because God incorporated it into the law.
Right, that's right.
Right? Yeah. The land's the same way, folks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I had Penny look it up for me this morning. On the way up here, just to make sure I remembered correctly. What was it again now? Exodus 20, wasn't it, Penny? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Now look at what it says. Now I'm not... Listen. God promised that land to his son.
Amen.
And I'll just leave it right there. Because that's all I know about it. But look at what he says. Honor thy father and thy mother. What's that?
Uh-huh.
That's law.
Yes, sir.
Is that not law?
Mm-hmm.
That's law. That's as law as law can get.
Yes,
that's the law's kind of law. Mm-hmm. That's Mosaic law. That's mountain law. That's Mount Sinai law. That's law, law. Look, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Now, when it comes to us, when it comes to men, when it comes to Jews, their promise to the land was based upon what?
Yeah.
Doing the law.
Yeah.
Did they? No. No. So this idea, God's got this earthly people, and he's blessing them through law keeping. He's got this spiritual heavenly people that God's blessing them in Christ. That's all a lie, folks.
That's
all a lie. And the only way I could ever even hope of living in a new Jerusalem. Wait a minute. What did it say? New Jerusalem? I thought they were given that land forever. Why's it got to be a new one? Because it's an old covenant. And there's a better covenant. Remember I mentioned this to you all a few months ago, but I've been looking at this for some time now. There's a better covenant based upon better promises.
Amen. Yes, sir.
10:4?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's all in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, the very fact that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem lets me know it has nothing to do with the one that exists now. Why? Because it's got to be.
Amen.
But my only hope of being in that new Jerusalem, Joe, is in Christ.
Amen.
It's in Christ.
Amen.
It's the fact that he was promised that he's going to sit upon that throne, not for 1,000 years, but forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Yes, sir.
Oh, when you bow to the Word of God and just bow to what it says, it's like, there it is. No, I don't understand how everything fits together. I don't understand how everything fits together concerning Jesus Christ's incarnation and his living 33 and a half years on this earth and never sinning against God.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you explain that to me?
No.
None of us can. None of us can. You see, reprobation assures men's just destruction because of sin. Romans 9, let me read it. What if, verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath, what, just arbitrarily? God's just going to be wrathful and he's going to damn some people. No, that's not what it's talking about. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much, what? Long suffering. Now, if something's righteous, God don't have to suffer with it.
Exactly.
Does it? It's because it's an unrighteousness here he's dealing with.
Yeah, there you go.
Endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath, what? Fitted to destruction. Every one of those Jews that God, I mean, they ended up, you remember when the city was besieged, Lamentation, Jeremiah speaks of, they boiled their own kids in pots to eat because they were starving to death. Why? Because of unbelief, they refused to bow to the captivity in Babylon. And we'll stick this thing out, and we will deliver ourselves by our own hands. And that's why God said, cursed be the man that trusteth in the arm of the flesh.
Exactly.
Amen. He said, these people in chapter 8, verse 12, they got no shame in their corruption.
There you go.
That's the bad figs. You know what the good figs? They have shame.
Yeah.
In their corruption.
Amen.
Neil, the good figs have sin.
Yes, sir.
And they're ashamed of it.
That's it.
They're ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. Watch the people on TV. Listen, no, don't really do that. I'm saying if you did. They got no shame in their sin.
No.
Oh, yeah, maybe if you talk about child molestation. Maybe, I was going to say homosexuality, but that one's kind of, you're coming out of the closet now on that one.
Listen,
men have no shame in their sin. What's that mean? You're reprobate. Go back and look at Romans 1.
That's what it says. Yeah.
Oh, God help me. It's good to be ashamed of your sin.
Amen.
Isn't that a good thing to be ashamed of your sin?
Amen.
And in our day in so-called religion, that's the one thing you ought not be ashamed about. But we're all human, don't you know? We all make mistakes, don't you know? No, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And thank God our representative died that death for us.
Amen.
Mm. But let me tell you, election assures men's finding mercy for gracious prior preparation.
Yes, sir.
Look at it. Here's the next one. There are the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Mm-hmm. They deserve the destruction.
Yeah.
They deserve the wrath. But then look at, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, that's the good figs.
Yes, sir.
Which he hath afore prepared unto glory.
Amen.
Election is not your hope.
No.
Election assures your hope. I mean, I've heard people telling people this, and I've heard others who know of people who have told, well, if you're one of the elect, it'll be okay. That's deceptive.
Yes, sir.
Technically, it's true. If you're one of the elect, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But why? Because God will afford, prepare you to mercy.
Right.
He'll put you in bondage in Babylon so that you have nowhere else to turn but to Him.
Amen.
He will shut you down to yourself.
Yep. Yeah.
And force you to run to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yep. There you go.
Oh, don't lean upon election. Lean on Christ.
Amen. Exactly.
And don't be ashamed because you're ashamed. You ought to be ashamed.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
You ought to be ashamed. If you have no shame in your sin, you got a problem.
Yes, sir.
And yet people will try to make you feel bad because you're ashamed of your sin.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
But that's exactly what Jeremiah was warning these Jews about.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, captivity's coming.
Yeah.
Fight against it and God will wipe you out.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Captivity's coming. Bow down and there will be deliverance.
Amen.
So in effect, Mason, it wasn't simply bowing to captivity. Nope. It was bowing to God's Word.
Exactly.
Bowing to justice.
Yeah.
Amen. Bowing to God being honored. Amen. Bowing to His Son being glorified. Why? Because just immediately before this, what had Jeremiah prophesied? Chapter 23, verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord." And aren't you glad for this next word? The Lord, our righteousness. His name is that he's my righteousness.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Yes, sir.
His name is he's my righteousness.
Exactly.
And then people say, well, Jeremiah was probably into some trance and writing. Jeremiah knew there's one coming.
Amen. That's right.
Just like Adam and Eve were looking for one to come.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just like old Joseph was looking for one to come.
Yes, sir.
Was he not? And just like that man Simeon was looking for one to come. Was he not? Why? Because he knew this Old Testament book.
Exactly. That's right.
And he knew that was going to be a young male child. Why? Because this book says so.
Yeah.
And God opened his eyes to see that. So that when he picked up that little 8-day old baby, that his parents had brought him to be circumcised, and he picked up that little 8-day old baby and held him in his arms, he said, "Lord, now you can let your servant depart, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." A little baby right here. That's it.
Amen.
That's it. Both baskets of figs face judgment.
That's right.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Both baskets of figs face judgment. Yeah. Judgment had to come. Sin must be dealt with.
Yes, sir.
And this says something also about our chastisement. And I don't have time to deal with that. When God chastens you, don't look for a way out of it.
Yeah.
Just bow down under it.
There you go. Yeah.
He will deliver you from it once it's done its work.
Yes, sir.
If you sin against God, He's going to correct you. And Paul read it. It'll be grievous.
Yes, sir.
But just bow down under it. Don't look for ways to get out from under it. Bow down until God opens up the way before you.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. The one basket faced Babylonian captivity because of their sin. Yet it would be to their spiritual good by free, gracious deliverance from captivity.
Amen.
Isn't that what we read?
Yes, sir.
In Jeremiah chapter 24. God said, "I will deliver him.
Yes, sir.
I will deliver him." But the other who refused to submit to captivity, God said, they will be destroyed.
Right. That's what he said.
You reject captivity, you reject bondage, then you deny God's word about your sin.
Exactly.
That's what it is in effect doing. We don't deserve captivity. We're going to fight against this. God said, "I'll wipe you out."
That's right.
But those who bow down said, "We deserve this."
Yes, sir.
And you know what God told him? Go down in the land and start building houses.
Mm-hmm.
Down there in Babylon.
Yeah.
Marry, have your sons, marry daughters, and have your daughters, marry sons, and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Prosper. Pray for the nation that you're in.
There you go.
Is that not what he said? Go back and read what Jeremiah prophesied. Pray for that nation. Pray for the prosperity of it. Huh? You're coming out.
Amen.
You're coming out. You see, nothing we go through in this world as good figs is for our hurt.
Exactly.
It's all for our good.
Amen.
It's all for our good.
Amen.
I don't have to explain how it is. God just says, it will be.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
I know they hung their harps on the willows. But God said, deal with this. This is the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your old sinful nature in it. You can't get rid of it.
That's right.
You can't. At best, we can mortify its members. Some appendages.
Yeah.
Beat on them. Beat them. Beat them down.
Yeah.
Beat them down. But you can't get rid of the old man. He's a part of what you and who you are.
Exactly.
Bow down under God, boy. Mm-hmm. Look to Christ in it. Trust Christ in it. It will be okay.
Yes, sir. Right.
You hear what I say? It will be okay. First of all, notice they are afore prepared to glory.
Yes.
And our minds automatically, mine does too, I'm sure yours does to some degree, we look to the end, the eternal state, right?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
Afore prepared to glory. Now, that's true.
Yes, it is.
That's true. But turn to 2 Thessalonians, and we will see that glory is not just some distant, far distant future thing.
Exactly.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to see right here the same subject that I've been preaching to you about the past hour. That verse 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Why? Just because he wants to damn some folk? No. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining, that's in the present tense, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You've already obtained the glory of God. Don't look at yourself for it.
Amen.
Look to your representative.
Amen.
Huh?
Look up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's it. Look up. Amen. Set your affections where? Up there.
Yeah. Mm.
You see, glory is not just something we're waiting for way down yonder.
Mm-hmm.
Glory is something God's already prepared us for, and he's already brought it to us, and now just bring this. And Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians, from glory to glory.
Exactly.
Isn't that the way Paul puts it?
Right.
From glory to glory. And I'm done.
Amen. That's good.
Thank you, Dave.